Hello, my name's Dave Emery, and in the next two half-hour segments, we're going to update yet again the investigation into the Oklahoma City bombing. Among the items covered in an update, a two-part update that I did in March of 1998, were allegations of connections between a white supremacist milieu and the Oklahoma City bombing. In fact, there is a great deal of substance to those allegations, and in as much as the investigation is ongoing, it'll be interesting to see how many of those eventually make it into the mainstream press. We're going to touch on some of those connections today, and one of the most interesting connections, to me, concerns a possible, please note the use of the term possible, connection between the AMIA bombing in 1994 and the Oklahoma City bombing. The AMIA bombing was in Argentina, and it was a bombing of a Jewish community center which also served as a housing place for key documents concerning the flight of Nazi war criminals to Argentina, something that was massive and absolutely pivotal in terms of understanding contemporary history. The FBI was investigating the AMIA bombing, and the FBI had infiltrated the milieu implicated in the AMIA bombing, and some of the Argentinian police officers who had performed that bombing were found to have been members of the White Aryan Resistance Organization. That particular organization was founded and is headed up by Tom Metzger, an American white supremacist, and an individual the head of an organization which some have alleged that Timothy McVeigh was part of. Certainly, an American Nazi named Dennis Mahone was a member of White Aryan Resistance. We've talked about Mahone at considerable length in the past, and we have speculated concerning the possibility that he may have been involved in Oklahoma City. And also in the book Blood Oath, the allegation is made that the murder of Ron and Nicole and the framing of O.J. Simpson was part of performed by the same organization that pulled off Oklahoma City, namely an organization allegedly called Christian Aryan Underground Special Enforcers, or CAUSE. A grand jury is currently investigating the Oklahoma City bombing. One of the people they called was white supremacist Dennis Mahone of the White Aryan Resistance, and Mahone took the fifth in connection with that. We've covered that before, but it might be a good starting place for tonight's discussion or today's discussion. Research credit on all of the following articles goes to a member of the listening audience, and the following comes from the Amarillo Globe News, and it's from their website, posted on July 17th, 1997. This is an AP story datelined Oklahoma City, and it's headlined, "Supremacist Plans to Take the Fifth. Operator of Dial-A-Racist Hotline Denies Involvement in Bombing." Skipping down, "I'm going to take the fifth," Dennis Mahone said as he left the grand jury session. Mahone, who operates a Dial-A-Racist Hotline and is a member of the White Aryan Resistance, has denied involvement in the April 19th, 1995 bombing that killed 168 people. Well, whether or not Dennis Mahone was involved in the bombing, as some have alleged, including an ATF informer who passed a polygraph examination, it is interesting to note that Mahone and, according to some sources, McVeigh as well, were members of White Aryan Resistance, and the policemen who were implicated at the operational level in the AMIA bombing in Argentina were also members of that same organization, indicating certainly an international nature to that organization, and possibly indicating that the AMIA bombing and Oklahoma City were part of an international fascist terror campaign. That is interesting to contemplate in light of some of the alleged international connections to Oklahoma City. Most significant of those, in my opinion, Andreas Strassmeyer. Andreas Strassmeyer is a former German army officer and the son of Gunter Strassmeyer, Helmut Kohl's former chief of staff and the architect of German reunification. Andreas Strassmeyer, his son, was director of security and paramilitary operations for Elohim City, a white supremacist compound in Oklahoma. Timothy McVeigh visited that compound and had called asking for Andreas Strassmeyer. I would note that Andreas was present at the German reunification ceremony, something that would have mandated a German government security clearance. Yet the German government has been less than forthcoming about Andreas Strassmeyer. Carol Howe, the aforementioned ATF informant who passed a polygraph examination, has alleged that both Strassmeyer and Mahone were deeply involved in Oklahoma City. We've covered those allegations before, and they're accessed in the various updates on the Oklahoma City bombing, including a pair of updates done in 1997 and three updates done in 1998. Two in February, actually two in March, and one in April of 1998. What we're going to do now is to turn to a Denver Post story, and again, research credit on all of these goes to a listener who gleaned all of these from the World Wide Web. The previous article was from the Amarillo Globe News. Their website is http://amarillonet.com. And that again from July 17th. The following is from the Denver Post. And specifically, this is from the Denver Post's article of May 28th. This is headlined, Witness Won't Tell Her Story. Subtitled, Denver, and by the way, it's authored, Denver Post Staff and Wire Reports. And again, this is from May 28th, and this is from the Denver Post Online. Their website, denverpost.com/bomb. Okay. And again, from the Denver Post Online of May 28th, this article entitled Witness Won't Tell Her Story. It talks about Carol Howe not being permitted to testify at the trial of Timothy McVeigh. Speaking of Carol Howe, and skipping down, Howe worked for the Bureau of Alcohol, Tobacco, and Firearms and told agents that members of a white supremacist group talked repeatedly about blowing up federal buildings months before the bomb exploded in Oklahoma City. She lived at a white supremacist compound called Elohim City, southeast of Tulsa, for at least 4 months in 1994, according to Dennis Mahone, a leader of the white Aryan resistance who used to date Howe. During that time, she fed agents information about members there, including Mahone and the German national named Andrea Strassmeier, according to McVeigh's lawyer, Stephen Jones. Mahone also told the Post that he now believes Howe was an informer, but that her information couldn't be trusted because she is a pathological liar addicted to painkillers. Strassmeier, and the next article is more than a little interesting, the next point of information is more than a little interesting. Strassmeier, whose grandfather helped found the Nazi Party in Germany, reportedly said federal buildings should be blown up. It's unclear what she told them about Mahone. And again, the allegation is made here that Andrea Strassmeier's grandfather helped found the Nazi Party in Germany. It'd be interesting to know what the source is on that. Again, his father, Gunter Strassmeier, is Helmut Kohl's former chief of staff, an arch-reactionary member of the Christian Democratic Union, and the architect of German reunification. According to this article, Andrea Strassmeier's grandfather helped found the Nazi Party in Germany. Continuing, although the FBI and federal prosecutors repeatedly denied that either Strassmeier or Mahone were suspects in the bombing, documents turned over to the defense proved that they were and that Howe was extensively interviewed by federal agents 2 days after the bombing, Jones said. The government has refused to talk about Howe, whose family moves in the higher social circles in Oklahoma. Howe appeared to buy into the white supremacist movement. She started dating Mahone in 1993 and appeared with him on German television. She talked about how violence was needed to create a racially pure America. With Mahone, she visited Elohim City and then moved there and lived in Mahone's trailer. Still more about the allegations of an international fascist conspiracy, a widespread fascist conspiracy, I should say, with regard to Oklahoma City, possibly international. Still more comes from the Denver Post Online. And once again, research credit on this goes to a member of the listening audience. This is from the Denver Post of March 29th. And this is an article, Did McVeigh Botch a Larger Plot? The article is by Howard Pankratz, P-A-N-K-R-A-T-Z, the Denver Post's legal affairs writer. And again, this is datelined Dallas, Texas, March 29th. A former officer in the neo-Nazi white supremacist Aryan Nations claims that the Oklahoma City bombing was part of a complex, widespread plot to kill four judges with truck bombs. But in carrying out the plot, Timothy McVeigh bombed the wrong building. Bobby Joe Crank, unquote, Farrington told the Denver Post in his first newspaper interview about the bombing. That last sentence again. But in carrying out the plot, Timothy McVeigh bombed the wrong building, Bobby Joe Crank Farrington told the Denver Post in his first newspaper interview about the bombing. In a month when international conspiracy theories abound, including one raised this week by McVeigh's attorneys that involves Iraq and the Irish Republican Army, Farrington's recollections paint a picture of a homegrown plan hatched by white separatists and militias angry at the U.S. government. McVeigh's trial is scheduled to begin in U.S. District Court in Denver on Monday. He faces the death penalty if convicted of murder and conspiracy charges filed against him in connection with a bombing that killed 168 people and injured about 500 more. McVeigh's legal team would not comment on Farrington's allegations, setting a judge's gag order in the case. Farrington, 47, told the Denver Post that the bomb in Oklahoma City was intended to kill retired U.S. District Judge Fred Doherty of Oklahoma City, who had an office in the federal courthouse across the street from the Alfred P. Mura Federal Building, which was destroyed in the blast. And after talking about Farrington's contempt for Timothy McVeigh, whom he knew through their mutual association with the Aryan Nations, Farrington called him an idiot. We go on to read, skipping down. He, Farrington, is currently serving a 33-year sentence for stealing a truck he says was going to be used in a plot to kill a judge in the Northwest. Farrington's arrest and conviction record extends back 21 years. Such a criminal history could call his credibility into question. But Texas state officials have told the Post that Farrington's comments shortly after the bombing led to an FBI investigation that is ongoing. And skipping down, more about this alleged plot to kill judges. A Montana judge, whom Farrington claims he warned about the plot against Doherty before the Oklahoma City bombing, referred all questions to the FBI. An FBI official said the agency could not comment on Farrington because of a gag order issued by U.S. District Judge Richard Mache, who was presiding over the McVeigh trial. At 9:02 a.m., the moment of the explosion on April 19, 1995, Judge Doherty was in the Oklahoma City Federal Courthouse in his second-floor office. The windows of the office looked directly across 4th Street toward the front of the Mura Building. Doherty was scheduled to preside over a 9:30 a.m. hearing. The bomb exploded at the Mura Building's back door on 5th Street. Doherty, who was sitting at his desk, was hit with glass fragments as his two north-facing windows exploded. The judge received cuts on his head and neck, but was not seriously injured. Farrington claimed that Dennis Mahone, former leader of the White Aryan Resistance, or WAR, in Tulsa, Oklahoma, and John Trockman, founder of the Militia of Montana, were deeply involved in the bombing and broader plot. Both Mahone and Trockman, however, denied any involvement in the Oklahoma City bombing or the larger bombing conspiracy. They said they didn't know Farrington. Mahone's name has come up repeatedly in recent weeks, specifically from McVeigh's defense team, which claims in a motion filed earlier this week that a government informant says Mahone talked about bombing the, quote, federal building, unquote, in Oklahoma City and traveled there at least three times in November and December of 1994, and again in February of 1995. Farrington said the complex bomb plot stemmed from both specific anger toward the four individual judges, as well as a more generalized anger over the siege at Ruby Ridge, the then-pending execution of white supremacist Richard Snell in Arkansas, and the death of the Branch Davidians at Waco. By the way, I would interject that the Taking Aim newsletter of March of 1995, that's the newsletter of the Militia of Montana, founded by Aryan Nations associate John Trockman, mentioned in its March 1995 issue, it talked about the significance of the date of April 19th, and it said that on April 19th, Richard Snell would be executed if they didn't take action. That certainly points an investigative finger at the Militia of Montana under the circumstances. Doesn't prove anything, but it certainly is suspicious. Continuing and skipping down, the three judges allegedly targeted in the plot were U.S. District Judge Edward Lodge of Boise, Idaho, U.S. District Judge Walter Smith of Waco, and State Judge Roy Rodigero of Roundup, Montana. That's R-O-D-E-G-H-I-E-R-O. I may be wrong about the pronunciation on that. And skipping down, still more about this alleged plot to kill judges, which, according to Farrington, resulted in the Oklahoma City bombing. Rodigero was targeted because he had been a thorn in the side of Freemen leader and Roundup resident Rodney Skirdall, said Farrington. In 1994, the anti-government Freemen began a war of intimidation against public officials in eastern Montana, resorting to lien filings and allegedly threatening the lives of various office holders. In June of 1996, they surrendered after a four-month standoff with the FBI near Jordan, Montana. Farrington said he had saved Rodigero from an earlier plot in March of 1995 when he told the FBI that Rodigero was going to be kidnapped, tried, and hanged by the Freemen and the Militia of Montana. Farrington was in Montana with Trockman at the time. Musselshell County Sheriff G. Paul Smith told the Denver Post that the FBI had tipped him to a possible kidnapping attempt. And there's a second part of this story. Once again, this is from the Denver Post Online, and that specifically is an article by Howard Pankratz, the Denver Post legal affairs writer. It's copyright 1997. It's March 29th, Dateline, Dallas. And in the second part of this article, entitled McVeigh Not Alone, Neo-Nazi Claims, we read the following. On March 3, 1995, a number of heavily armed men were arrested in Roundup. That, again, interrupting, is in Montana. Continuing, they were found with assault rifles, thousands of rounds of ammunition, restraining devices, night goggles, and body armor. Smith, the sheriff, thinks the armed men may have been carrying out the plan to kidnap Rodriguero. It was shortly after he learned of the 1995 plot to kidnap Rodriguero that Farrington said he heard about the more widespread bombing plot, including the plot to assassinate Oklahoma City's Doherty and a renewed attempt on Rodriguero. When he found out around April 1, 1995, that the movement was planning an Oklahoma City bombing, he decided to stop it, Farrington said. About April 10th, he wrote to Rodriguero to warn him of the planned bombing in Oklahoma City. Farrington said he decided to write a letter to Rodriguero rather than the FBI because he felt he'd have credibility with Rodriguero. The 47-year-old former construction worker said he thought the judge would call Doherty, and that would be the end of the Oklahoma City bombing plot. Rodriguero would not talk about Farrington's claims. His staff referred calls to the FBI. Quote, he said you should check with the FBI on all this. They handled everything from day one, and he said that's who's in charge, said Rodriguero's court clerk. When Farrington realized his letter to Rodriguero hadn't stopped the bombing, he said he was devastated. I cried, he said. It could have been stopped so easily. Again, still quoting, I don't think anybody in the white supremacist movement knew that the Muro building was the target. I think the Muro building was a mistake. The buildings are close together, unquote. Farrington said his information about the Oklahoma City bombing plot came from two people in the white supremacist movement, Mahone and a man he identified as J. Dan, unquote, a Czechoslovakian who he said provided security for the Aryan Nation's headquarters at Hayden Lake, Idaho. Farrington said both Mahone and Dan sent him detailed letters in early April 1995 spelling out plans for the Oklahoma City bombing. Farrington said Mahone told him McVeigh and Terry Nichols were to build the truck bomb. Nichols also has been charged in the bombing and will be tried after McVeigh's trial ends. According to Farrington, Mahone was to oversee the operation in Oklahoma City, and two German nationals, Andreas Strassmeier and Bernard Sevenacher, were to blow up the building. By the way, that second man's name, capital B-O-N-A-R-D, capital S-E-V-E-N-A-C-K-K-A-R. And I may be mispronouncing that. More about these allegations of a wider international and German participation in the plot. Quote, Mahone mentioned Strassmeier and Sevenacher as the people who would bring the building down, Andy and Bernard, from inside to outside, and McVeigh and Nichols were supposed to make the truck up, unquote, said Farrington. I would note many critics of the official version of the Oklahoma City bombing have maintained that the building was not brought down by an explosion from the outside, but rather from an explosion from the inside, in which explosives were in all likelihood placed in supportive columns for the building. I would point out that in the book Blood Oath, allegedly connecting the O.J. Simpson case and the Oklahoma City bombing, and I personally believe that book to be accurate, some of the participants, in fact, the cause strike team that killed Ron and Nicole was composed of military and law enforcement veterans, including veterans of covert operations. There was at least one former Green Beret in that team, and I would point out that former Green Beret would certainly have the technical expertise to perform an act like that. And if they had access to the Oklahoma City building, and they certainly appear to have had access to O.J. Simpson's place, and they had very sophisticated equipment and financial backing, former Green Beret could certainly muster the expertise to bring down a building in this fashion. And if, in fact, the interior explosives were coupled with a truck bomb outside, that could lead to the disparity between the official version and what some technical critics of the official version have maintained. I would point out that in the book Blood Oath, authors Stephen Wirth and Carl Jasper's informant, codenamed Skinner, an alleged participant in the assassination of Ron and Nicole and the framing of O.J., maintained that Operation Thunderbolt, the killing of Ron and Nicole and the framing of O.J., was intended, among other things, to discredit law enforcement and to divide the races. If, in fact, a somewhat similar motivation was involved in Oklahoma City, then discrediting the official version and, in fact, blaming the bombing on, quote, the government, unquote, would be consistent with what Worth and Jasper's informant told them about Operation Thunderbolt, which, according to Skinner, was connected to the Oklahoma City bombing. I personally, as I've stated in past updates, I do not buy the government did it theory about Oklahoma City. The media coverage of Oklahoma City is not consistent with a provocation. If this had been a provocation, there would have been tons of articles planted in the domestic and foreign media alleging a vast international conspiracy against which we need to remove the Bill of Rights and suspend our civil liberties so we can protect ourselves against this vast international conspiracy. Instead, the profound indications of a much wider and, in fact, international conspiracy are being covered up. I don't know precisely why, although certainly the evidentiary tributary running to the highest echelons of the German government through Andreas Strassmeier might very well be a motive. But again, the media coverage of this is not consistent with a provocation, and I personally don't buy the government did it hypothesis, although I think elements within the government functioning as a subversive fifth column may very well have been complicit. But please note these last several sentences. I'm going to read this last section again. Farrington said his information about the Oklahoma City bombing plot came from two people in the white supremacist movement, Mahone and a man he identified as J. Dan, a Czechoslovakian who he said provided security for the Aryan Nation's headquarters at Hayden Lake, Idaho. Farrington said both Mahone and Dan sent him detailed letters in early April of 1995 spelling out plans for the Oklahoma City bombing. Farrington said Mahone told him McVeigh and Terry Nichols were to build the truck bomb. Nichols also has been charged in the bombing and will be tried after McVeigh's trial ends. According to Farrington, Mahone was to oversee the operation in Oklahoma City, and two German nationals, Andreas Strassmeier and Bernard Sevenacher, were to blow up the building. Quote, Mahone mentioned Strassmeier and Sevenacher as the people who would bring the building down, Andy and Bernard from inside to outside, and McVeigh and Nichols were supposed to make the truck up, said Farrington. Skipping down. However, Mahone, after denying these charges, the aforementioned Dennis Mahone is quoted as following. However, Mahone said he does know Dan, who he knows by his full name of Jaromir J. Dan. That's capital J-A-R-O-M-I-R, J apostrophe, capital D-A-N, and has written to him. Mahone also said he knows a German neo-Nazi by the name of Bernard, although he thinks he had a different name than Sevenacher. Mahone claimed that Dan, quote, talked a lot about violence, unquote. Again, quoting, he said we could go ahead and nuke the federal government, stuff like that, unquote, said Mahone. And again, quoting, he wanted to nuke America. I finally stopped writing him, unquote. Mahone said that the man called Bernard traveled to Oklahoma shortly before the ruins of the Oklahoma City bombing. Mahone said that the man called Bernard traveled to Oklahoma shortly before the ruins of the Murrah building were demolished, and the two of them traveled to Oklahoma City to see the building the day before it was torn down. So in this article, we have not only allegations of a much broader international fascist conspiracy, and one which was originally directed against four judges who had crossed the white supremacist movement, and which, according to Farrington, then resulted in a misapplication of the explosives to the Oklahoma City building. We also have allegations that a former Czech national associated with the Aryan Nations, the aforementioned Andreas Strassmeier, son of Helmut Kohl's former chief of staff, and according to an article that we looked at earlier, the grandson of one of the founders of the Nazi Party in Germany, the allegation by Farrington maintains that Andreas Strassmeier and another German Nazi named Bernard Sevenacher were to bring the building down from the inside to the outside, and that Nichols and McVeigh were to build the truck. I would note that there are profound connections between Nazi elements in this country and in Germany and abroad. We've dealt with those connections in other broadcasts, including the Specialized Knowledge and Abilities program and the Specialized Knowledge and Abilities series. We've also taken a look at some of those international connections in some of the updates to the Oklahoma City bombing. I would recommend, among other titles, the vitally important recent book, The Beast Reawakens, by Martin A. Lee, documenting some of those connections. There are also allegations of Iraqi support for Dennis Mahone. One of the things we noted in the March 1998 updates of the Oklahoma City bombing were that, in fact, Nazi elements worldwide expressed sympathy for Saddam Hussein, largely because of his opposition to both the United States and Israel, both countries despised by the international Nazi movement. Whether or not the allegations about Iraqi financial support for Dennis Mahone are accurate, he certainly appears to have been getting money from somebody. He believes it was from the Iraqi government. In this context, I would remind listeners of the two-part, the half-hour segment done in March of 1998, warning about the Nazi anthrax scare. A former Aryan Nations associate, Larry Harris, and a fellow in Las Vegas, Nevada, were arrested with what was originally feared to be military-grade anthrax. It turned out to be an anthrax vaccine, although some of their other behavior, I think, warrants serious questions. Larry Harris had been very vocal in his opinion that Iraqi terrorists had infiltrated the United States and were going to launch a biological warfare attack against which he was supposedly attempting to protect, to defend. Critics of Larry Harris have maintained that, in fact, his video and his instructions on how to defend against such an attack are a how-to manual of how to launch such an attack. Again, I would note the documented connections between Nazi elements worldwide and the Iraqis, their support for the Iraqis in the Persian Gulf War, in which Nazi elements sent mercenaries to Iraq to fight against the United States and the coalition forces. And I would also note the curious behavior of a former Aryan Nations member, Larry Harris, perhaps former belongs in quotes, who, along with William Levitt, his associate, were allegedly possessing military-grade anthrax, turned out to be a vaccine. Levitt, I would note, owns a biological laboratory in Germany. And again, I'm not stating necessarily that there was an Iraqi connection to Larry Harris's actions, but I would note that possibility. And I would also note the support for Nazi elements for Saddam Hussein. They viewed Saddam Hussein as having the same enemies they did, namely the United States and Israel. And again, the Nazi forces were openly supportive of Saddam's forces against the Allied coalition and the United States in the Gulf War. Research credit on the following goes to a member of the listening audience. This is, once again, from the Denver Post's website. It's by Howard Pankratz, the Denver Post legal affairs writer, and it's entitled A Look at Jones' Conspiracy Claim. It's dated March 27th, and it reads in part as follows, skipping down. Jones said trial testimony should be delayed until the government turns over what he believes are volumes of material about Strassmeyer and Mahone and their possible ties to a broad conspiracy. He claims the government is reluctant to do this because it may show the government had advanced warning of a possible bombing in Oklahoma City. Jones contends that the Iraqi government, which U.S. troops pounded into submission during the Persian Gulf War, has given Mahone thousands of dollars over the past 6 years. The defense claims that Mahone, who is described as a, quote, virulent racist and avowed enemy of the U.S. government, unquote, started receiving the money in 1991 after Mahone held rallies protesting the Persian Gulf War. Mahone did hold demonstrations against the war and sent videotapes of their rallies to representatives of the Iraqi government in Washington, D.C., he said Wednesday. I sent the videotapes of my demonstration to Iraqi diplomats, and I told them to please translate this into Arabic and make sure Saddam sees this, because he'll at least know there is some opposition to this war here, unquote, Mahone said. Almost immediately, he said, he began receiving anonymous money orders from the zip code in Washington, D.C., where the diplomats lived. Quote, all I can say is, after I did these war protests, I sent the videotapes to the Iraqis in Washington, and I started getting blank postal money orders to me for about $50 to $100 a month. He said he continued to receive payments up through the bombing and for about a two-month period afterward. So again, not only the alleged Iraqi link, but other international links pointing to a wider fascist conspiracy continue to emerge. That concludes this segment. My name's Dave Emery. Thanks for listening.